I just wanted to make a quick announcement before Geshe-la comes in, is that this is our first Sunday program without a children's class for a long time, because we're giving our volunteers a break, and so July and August we're going to have no children's classes. However, children are always welcome to stay in the Gompa. Geshe-la loves children. If you feel like your children are of the activity level where it might not be beneficial for them to stay in the Gompa, I just prepped the preschool room, which Chris has always available for use, but there's a TV in there, speakers, so you can still take the teachings while your children are free with their bodies to be happy too. So please feel free to use the preschool room, and we expect over these couple months that some organic tit-for-tat childcare might happen. You're welcome to use any of the children's classrooms. You know, maybe one parent would, say, oh, I'll watch the kids or play with them this week, and then, another parent will do it the next week. So we expect some of that to happen. But, yeah, thank you.
And we'll chant the mantra at the top of the page above the words daily prayers. If you have, if you don't have a gold book, but you have a white binder, it's the first page with all the prayers. And it's maybe labeled Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra. I'll say this three times. Taya ta mune mune maha munaye so. Read the four measurables below that in English one time. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. I'll turn the page to 37. And we'll chant the four measurables chanting version. And if you have the white binder, it's the Tibetan words where the music notes are. San Chen Tam Che De Wa. Two mantras, Chenrezig mantra, the Buddha of great compassion, and then Green Tara's mantra, deity of enlightened activity. So let's do 8 of Chenrezig and 7 of Green Tara. Om Mani Padme Hum. tare ture so ha. Om tare tu 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 tare ture so ha.
Sorry, I'm really late today, so I just wake up only 3 minutes ago. Good morning. Children are going to stay? So we are going to meditate then. next 2 minutes, do single point meditation, okay? Single point meditation. If you hear me snoring, then please excuse me. Yeah, so I just wake up. Yeah. So do short single point meditation, okay? you can use your own breath as an object, you know, breathing out, breathing in, you can focus on that. Or you can concentrate on some kind of like a mental image. You can just create some kind of mental image. You know? So just focus there. So that's the way to make your mind calm and peaceful. Okay. Or next few minutes. Maybe that's enough, that's long enough. It's been 1 hour. Please, would you mind take 1 moment to introduce to yourself each other? Oh, my God. Ramasi. What is her name? Her name? Anna.
Dorka.
Dorka, yeah, Dorka.
Are you coming next Sunday?
Yeah, I'm coming. Thank you. So I will continue the explanation of the mantra. So the Mani mantra. So last Sunday just finished one syllable. So I'll repeat this, you know, if some of you are here first time, so I'm very much hoping that you can use this mantra for meditation on compassion, you know, compassion, which is very, very important, so very, very important. So I hope you agree with me, compassion is very, very important. It's good for ourselves, you know, it's good for everybody, you know. Good for the birds, good for the squirrels. You know. If you have compassion, they are going to be also safe too, you know. So, it's good for everybody. You know. It kind of heals, you know, all of us. It heals all of us. So that's one thing we all should emphasize. How to develop compassion and also educate ourselves and educate other people. Importance of compassion. So, So then meditation on compassion is also like learning how to love yourself. What do you think? How to love yourself? If we really love ourselves, what we should do, we should develop compassion. So we should develop respect, we should practice tolerance, you know, all of that, you know. So that's the way to love yourself. Because compassion is the mindset, it's not the physical part, it's the mindset, the mental qualities. And that is the mental happiness. So then, you know, the base of this mantra, this is the mantra of compassion, So, so then the first syllable is called Om, Om. You see, this is the first syllable. But some of you already know, there's three letters together, A, U, Ma. A, I'm just repeating this, A symbolizes body, you know. Usually they say O, U, doesn't matter, it's like, which way you say A, O, U, not E. A, O, U, doesn't matter. A symbolize no body. U, or O symbolize speech. Then there's a round one, you know, there's a round one. Supposed to be Ma, symbolize mind, or thought. Thought, you know, thought, we think, you know, thought, similar thought. So when you say Om, then this is called prayer wheel, you know, this is called handheld prayer wheels. When you turn this clockwise and supposed to generate energy that is associated with the compassions, then, you know, with the thought to benefit all living beings, then with that thought, then you turn, then hoping to, you know, good. You turn this for the betterment of all living beings, not just American, Tibetan, you know, like Buddhist, no, all living beings. This is the kind of thought, you know. So, you are contributing for better world, you are contributing for better world, you know, so doing something, you know, the saying compassion mantra or tuning the prayer wheel, so you are contributing, or contributing for the better world. So this Om, A, U, Ma. So then when you say a word Om, then you, according to the instruction, you're supposed to visualize the body, speech, mind, no? Not the impure, pure body, speech, mind, no? Pure. Oh. What we call in Buddhism, called precious human life. Very, very important. That's how the day began. Day began, you know, try to find something within yourself, something to be grateful, or something to be happy, you know, precious human life. It's not something that you don't like. No, this is precious human life. Oh, okay, oh. So when you say Om, body, speech, mind. I think if the children are tired, you don't need to sit, you know, you can just walk around, then come back. Okay. So long time ago, you know, even the people had a lot of problem, difficulty learning this mantra. How this mantra has been taught? The bee. One bee comes, you know, they come, Om. Everybody kind of interested in looking at watching the bee. So then the bee comes again, Om. Then the bee taught people how to learn how to say the mantra, you know. So right now we don't need bee, so we can learn. So then another bee comes, Ma. They'll go again, then the Pe, then Ni. That's how they learn. So the color, you know, color is white. If you want to use this mantra as a base for your meditation, then you visualize Om, think about pure body, speech, and mind. You know? Nature of body, speech, and mind, something pure. Not just that, then everything else also pure too, you know, like that. Om. Then color will be white. And it helps. This mantra is the sacred word. Those mantras. Mantra is not something that you say again, then it become mantra, you know. You could say pizza, you know, the pizza doesn't become mantra. So mantra is something, the definition of mantra is protect our mind. Yi kyo. Something that protects our mind from what? From disturbing thought. There's the whole purpose of meditation, to liberate ourselves from disturbing thought. You know, disturbing thought is no good. Whether you are believing in something, whether you are not believing in something, it's not good. Long as you have thought, it's not good to have disturbing thought, because it makes your life miserable. So that's why I'm saying, going back to the point, if we really love ourselves, what we should do, we should think something positive, say something nice. You know, it helps. It helps all, everybody. Okay. Om. So color white. So then, it also helps to minimize or reduce or eradicate pride. Pride. You know, you visualize. Then it kind of like, you know, reduce or minimize pride. Om. Oh yeah, this is. So now I try not to maybe finish this. Ma. So now the second syllable called ma. You know. Color jangu. Green. Color is green. Jangu means green. It purifies, or it reduces, or minimizes, or eradicates the purifies. So jealousy. Well, you know, from the emptiness point of view, so but this word is not the best way to explain Tongbanyi. Tibetan is called Tongbanyi. This is not the best way to explain that, you know, topic or Tongbanyi. So, you know, everything started from I, you know, so first we become very, how to say, we clinking so tight on I, you know, we become attached to I, you know, then my, you know, that's how all the things begin, you know, right from the beginning, you become very attached to yourself, nothing wrong. That's everybody doing the same thing. Then after that, then my religion, my country, my culture, my tradition, my race, you know, my idea, or my opinion. Then there are so many things that come out of that. So according to the teaching on emptiness, you know, emptiness, as I said, you know, so far, that's the only word they use to describe Tongbanyi. Very, very important piece of practice that, you know, in Buddhism. Basically, there's the kind of like meditation trying to help you to figure it out, what is self, you know. Oh, I'm not happy. I'm so happy. I'm this and that. What is that I? Do we have any clue? Do we ever bother to analyze that? Or we just go with that? Huh? So, what is self. We are not talking where is self, what is, what is it, what is it, what is it. It's so strong there, was it, what is it? Is the body, or is like, is the thought, what is it? So it helps you to deal with, you know, day-to-day life reality, so very much. We see things, everything, you know, something very serious, solid, you know, absolute. That's not how this is, we forget, it's the perception. It's the perception, it's the reflections of, not the body, there's nothing reflecting the body. It's the reflection of the thought. You know, thought is like clear lake. In the clear lake, there's nothing there, but things reflect. Trees, flowers, people, cow, animals, when they go nearby, you see the reflection in the water. It looks exactly like cow. Is that cow? It's not cow. It's called reflection. So, Chinajana, Jumanalam, the Panasana, Dazuja, Nayans. Even though you see exactly like cow, that's not cow. The reflection of our face in the mirror, it looks exactly like your face, but it's not your face. But there are certain things you can do based on the reflections, you know, certain problem you could solve, you know. For example, if the long hair coming out of your nose, you can cut that based on the reflection. So it serves some purpose, but that's not the face, that's not the nose. So anyway, so my point here, you know, is all the reflection, the perception of reflection is not something very serious, you know, something very serious. That's why then I've been, you know, saying that, you know, everything is like illusions. It's not illusions, it's like illusions, you know. Illusions. So for example, like magicians, they show some magic, right? Magic. You see, you know, so they, some of them, good, very good magicians, they create elephant, horse out of piece of wood, they just create horse. So they have some practice they do, so then they just transform piece of wood into horse. What do you see? You see horse. You don't see piece of wood, you see horse. What magicians see also horse too. Then what's the difference between you and magicians? Magicians don't believe what he or she sees, but we believe what we see. That's the big difference. So then all kind of emotions rise based on that object, let's say it's horse. Or all kind of, you know, opinions, all kind of judgment in the mind rise, basically turns out it's just a piece of wood. This is not like some serious, you know, looking horse or like, you know, not all that. No. So, nawa sengiraji, nawa means, you know, appearance, positive, negative, all of that is a reflection of the mind. The nature of their mind is empty. It's like clear sky, there's nothing there. Nature of their mind is like clear sky or clear lake, there's nothing. But so many things reflect, and we think, oh, it's there right from the beginning. No, it's not there right from the beginning. It just reflects on a certain object. They move around, they reflect there. It's not right from the beginning, it's there. It's just reflections. Nawa, same girashis. Nawa, appearances. Good, bad, neutral, appearance. Nawa, same mind. Ranji, nature. It's the nature of, you know, it's a nawa, same girashis. Nawa, same girashis. It's basically, It's the thought. Oh, very good. It's just part of the mind. You know, it's not there's something absolute good there, out there. Then, you know, whoever sees, or everybody says, oh, this is good, and some people say, oh, it's not good. It's kind of looks boring, you know. People say different things. So they clearly prove there's not absolute good, or there's not absolute bad. There's just people just call the level at the same time not being understood, you know, it's like illusion, and people have been treated like that's like something very serious or absolute, it's not like that. So my point back to the money matter, ma symbolize, ma color green, green, then purify jealousies, okay, purify jealousies. So probably I should finish the mantra before I go out of the, what you call, side direction, or march. So color green and purifies jealousy, purifies jealousies. Then when you say, next time when you say, om, something to think about, ma, something to think about. Because we've been saying this mantra every morning. Even the children have been saying this mantra. In Tibet, you know, every not beside except the infant. The infant they cannot talk. Besides that, every people, including children, everybody knows this mantra. Everybody knows this mantra. It's not like we have class that we taught them. It's just they just learn. People just learn, they just learn this mantra, they just learn, you know, maybe hearing, wherever you go, you keep hearing this mantra, everybody says the mantra, that's how you learn. So then, march. So now ni is color, omje, ma, ni. It's yellow, color yellow. Color is yellow, okay, yellow. Tetham is kind of like purifies, you know, like, how is the doubt? 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 Yeah. So, you know, there are three things that become obstacles. Let's say, going to Washington, D.C., or maybe to see the firework that's coming pretty close. So there's three things that become obstacles. First one, there's no desire to go. There's no will to go. There's the obstacles. There's no will to go. This is just an example. Anything in life that you want to do, first obstacle is that you have no desire, no will to do. Cooking, how is it, mowing the grass, or how is it?
Yeah,
mowing?
Mowing.
Mowing, yeah, mowing the grass. There's no will, you know, that it's not going to happen, you know. Even though you have the machines, everything, but there's no will to go that, right? Dormidus, no, don't want to go. Lam nor. Second one, you have will to go, but you go. But you are supposed to go to, I'm not sure, I don't, what road that leads to Washington, D.C.? What road?
I-95.
I-95? Oh. So what road that goes to Florida?
I-95.
Oh, that's kind of confusing. So let's say I-94 go to Washington, D.C. There's some other road probably goes to Colorado. Colorado?
I-44.
Oh, Colorado. If you're not sure which road goes to Washington, D.C., if you go to the road that leads to Colorado, so you'll never get to Washington, D.C. Lam nor, that means no, there's mistake in the path that leads to Washington, D.C. Tetham, so now the last one, there's got doubt. No, don't know where to turn. Turn here or turn there, have no clear pictures, no? They've got doubt. So this ma, ni, purifies the doubt. Oh, will it really make my mind calm or peaceful to do a single-pointed meditation? No, doubt, and not like that, no? So doubt, doubt. So that purify, oh, ma, ni, purify doubt, okay, doubt. I mean, like the doubt that become obstacles to achieve something, not like every single doubt. Doubt that become obstacle to achieve something in life, or whether it's like getting to Washington D.C. or maybe, you know, not having faith or confidence, not having not having conviction, faith towards something that you would like to do in your life. So that purifies, like Om Ma Ni, so now Ni, then that kind of purifies, minimize, or eradicates the doubt, not useful doubt. So, Om Ma Ni Pet. So the Pet, Pet is called Pat, doesn't matter. So if some Sanskrit people say Pat or Tibetan people say Pet, it doesn't matter, it basically means lotus. So there's blue, color is blue, Pet is color blue, no blue. It kind of helps you to like minimize or reduce like unknowing, what you call ignorance. Not knowing something, ignorance. That's generally speaking, not knowing. But here, not knowing true nature of mind, so it's something much more deeper, not knowing. Not knowing what self is, not knowing that. So, color blue has purified that. So then, there's three letters together in here. So just don't think of there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, not like. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, and there's 4, and there's 5, and there's 6. And here, it's kind of complicated. So, then meh is like red, color red. Okay, red. There's silver number 5, right? Silver number 5. Number 5. It's color red. If you put the color, it's red. It helps to purify craving. Not any kind of pizza, Papa John pizza. It has to be Papa John pizza, not any kind of pizza. Papa John, it has to be Papa John. Not any kind of toothbrush, it has to be particular toothbrush. Something like that, very like craving, craving. It purifies craving. So then the color is like, color red, it purifies. So then who, the last one, who, okay. So now I'm going to put it back here. There's dark blue. It purifies anger. So now when you meditate, something to think about. This become like analytical meditation. It become like review meditations, and your mind is caught up with this mantra. These are good things, and become very productive meditation. Om Ma Ni Pet Me Hu. So then you have something to think about. So that completes the compassion mantra. So then I'm really happy that every morning everybody in the in this Gomba or sanctuary say this mantra and dedicate it for the well-being of all living beings, So although the children participate, it's very good, So we don't need to say anything, we just say the mantra, it very benefits all living beings. So that's the mantra of compassion, mantra of compassion. So, yeah, so that's all. So maybe then, you know, have some discussions, so maybe divide the group, and maybe discuss about the importance of compassion. And please contribute. It doesn't have to be this. Is there any way you can contribute, you know, how to do meditation of compassion? Doesn't have to be this one, doesn't have to be this, you know, how to do meditation of compassion, you know, what do you do? So I very much like here, you know. I just wake up, so I probably sleep, kind of sleepy. So, so if you don't mind, you know, to divide the group, then maybe discuss importance of mantra, importance of compassion, and how to introduce that to the, you know, our, like, in children programs, you know, how to introduce that, you know, to let them know the importance of compassion, so downside of getting anger, all of that, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you everyone for participating in your little group. So now we'd like to open it up. We'd like to hear all the wonderful things you were talking about in your little groups. So if we have any volunteers, someone who can, something to share.
So we talked about a couple of interesting things in our group. A couple of the things that were maybe most useful are we talked about the ideas of it's more difficult to be compassionate towards someone who is affecting you directly. It's a little bit easier to be compassionate towards thinking about things a little more abstractly. Or, you know, Jared was talking about just in the moment. Like, it's a little bit easier when you have some distance, when you have some time, like, later on to think about something that happened and think about being compassionate towards a person who may have done something that you didn't like, but in that exact moment to be compassionate towards that person. When it matters the most, you know, it can be the most difficult. And then, you know, Ron was talking about practice, like, that's why it's so important to practice all the time or as much as you can so to be ready for those situations. So those are some of the things that we talked about.
We also talked about how, I've heard a lot of people say that they have problems being compassionate towards certain people, like, especially when they feel that these people are taking actions that are really bad for others. And I told the group this story about how I have a little child, and when he was one, I walked into the living room, and he's got a black Sharpie, and he's colored all over our tan couch, and he's just so happy about it. And he's ruined the couch. But, you know, You can't hate a child because he did something like that. So I try to look at adults who are doing horrible things as, like, the little kid with the Sharpie. They're just looking at the colors. They don't realize they're just ruining something. You can't blame people for doing things that they don't really understand fully. And so that's how I try to feel compassion for people who, you know, are probably doing something that's not good, but...
So in our group, we talked about how sometimes it's hard to be compassionate to, like, little, what we call pests, like mice and cockroaches and ants that come into your house, and you say, like, this is my house, and you get all these things to kill it, them, and sometimes it's hard to just let them be living in your house. We also talked about how to be compassionate, like, in your everyday jobs. Some people in our groups were, like, therapists, or you have to, like, look from other people's points of view so you can, you don't be ignorant, and you can sort of be more compassionate with the wisdom of, like, how you're being compassionate.
In our group, we talked about how sometimes it feels overwhelming to try and feel compassion for the world and for ourselves because of so much going on. But then we talked about how if we could just plant a little seed in ourselves by using methods like saying the mantra of compassion or something that helps us to feel calmer and easier with ourselves, we can really affect so many others. Someone gave an example of how in their office there was somebody else who just made an effort to say hello to everybody else in the office, ask about their family and how they are today, whether it was a person at the front desk or the CEO, and it helped her to learn how to do that herself and to make connections and get to know others. And that's the way we can start connecting with others and feeling compassion for others outside of ourselves and for ourselves also. Another person gave an example how in his office he works with computers and tried to analyze how one of his office mates had some statements about Greek refugees that were really disparaging because he took one little piece of information and processed it in his mind, and it came out as being very non-compassionate, like they deserve this. Whereas the person in our group said, no, I took that same piece of information and processed it and had some compassion for them. So, you know, we talked about how sometimes you just can't make other people think something else by giving them more and more input because they'll just process it differently. But if we can keep just modeling ourselves a sense of compassion, maybe someday that will plant a seed that maybe someday that other person might say, wow, you know, if I were in that person's place, maybe I would feel differently about it.
Yep, and so in our small group, we similarly discussed how applying compassion to ourselves can extend to others. With reference to the compassion mantra, something that I learned specifically was that the words that we repeat in this mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, are words that have been repeated by other people across the world in this present moment and also across time. People who came before us and those who come after us to repeat it. And therefore, the words have real power. It's not as was said, repeating pizza, pizza, pizza. Those words haven't been repeated for the end of time. But these words have. And so therefore, they contain real power. And when we apply that to ourselves, and again, the way I practice and apply it is a way to protect my own mind, to keep my own mind at peace. That's showing ultimate compassion to those around me who maybe are disturbing to me for whatever reason, and I can repeat this powerful, powerful mantra and bring myself back to a protected place in my mind that's ultimately extending compassion to those around me.
Another thing that we talked about a little bit in terms of, like, feeling compassion for people that
that maybe have hurt you or that it's hard to feel compassion for, reminded me of something more from, like, elementary school, because it was a lot less complicated then, but I remember, like, sometimes in elementary school coming home and being like, this person was mean to me, and feeling that you want something bad to happen to them, or, like, you want, like, to get revenge or something. And my parents being like, you don't have to take care of that. Like, karma's going to take care of that. The world will take care of that. And, or even just, like, people don't want to be around people who are mean. And so ultimately they're going to have suffering. And that just kind of, even now when things are more complicated, can immediately get me to a place of being like, oh my gosh, like, they're going to suffer in the future. And then, which makes me feel compassion for them instead of just being like, I should do something back to get back at them. But just, like, changing the mindset in that way has been helpful for me.
As I was coming here this morning, I was listening to a song that I really like, and many of you might know it. The Dream, the Impossible Dream, from Man from La Mancha. I've heard that song many times, but as I was thinking about it, I was thinking that just about everyone at one time or another in their lives has an inner desire, an inner quest, an innate feeling that they want to do something better. But over time, life gets in the way, relationships fail, etc., and different things happen, so most people don't fulfill those desires. It's my personal belief that if we set about to help others build on those good desires to improve themselves, that in the process we learn more about and work on improving ourselves. An example, many years ago down in Miami, my wife came home one day, and I was going to school at the time, but she came home from work, and she was really angry, and she had her own personal issues to deal with, but which were manifested in anger. But she came home, and she came to where I was studying, and she started talking, and she was trying to engage me into an argument. And she would say things, and I said, okay, what else happened? Blah, 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 blah. And how did you feel about that? Blah, 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 blah. And did you do anything? Blah, 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 blah. And so I was doing my best to keep the conversation very calm. Well, then she stopped. She looked at me and said, made a comment of, is that all you're going to say? And I said, honey, I said, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. That's not going to resolve anything. Well, she got mad at that, and she left for a few hours. The point is, we're not always going to have good interaction with others. But if we want to build a relationship, I think it's important to hear what they have to say. And if there's just one thing that we both can agree on, use that one thing and build upon it and develop an improved relationship. And I think in doing this, we help promote the goodness and the happiness and the benefits that most people desire. And just as we come here, we listen, we learn. This is an opportunity for personal growth, and as we exercise the things that we learn here in our daily lives, we can improve that growth. So I thank you very much.
Okay, just one last one. Do you have another one? No? Is anybody? Okay, thank you very much.
Everybody who contributed, thank you so much. And also like to as a welcome Kandula, Drokar from Australia. Sorry, Drokar. So none here. So on behalf of Kadambas, I would like to welcome Drokar.
Okay. So let's read the dedication prayer on page 246. 246 in the gold prayer book, and it's on the back of the sheet in the white prayer book. And you say this one time. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be free. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Thank you very much, and have a nice weekend. Have a nice upcoming
night. Just a couple of quick announcements. First of all, next Sunday here we'll be learning how to talk. We'll be celebrating His Holiness's birthday with a little celebration here in the Gampa. We also have a special celebration of his birthday on his birthday, which is the first ever Kadampa Center blood drive. We've been talking about compassion this morning. It's an act of compassion for strangers who can benefit from our generosity of the blood in our bodies. That is running from 2 to 6:30, and there's still slots if people would like to sign up for that, and we're hoping to offer that to His Holiness when he comes. Also, Geshe-la will be leaving after next Sunday to go to Nepal for the final arrangements for our wonderful new Lama Atisha statue to come. You can see that Patrick has already been getting things ready for the altar. The platform here is extended out, and we'll be shortly placing the altar there. And I think we might already be getting some responses to the sponsorships. So, and it's wonderful to have the children in the Gampa for the summer, so welcome, kids.
Speaking of children, we have the Children's Family Dharma Camp coming up on September 4th, which sounds like a long time away, but we need people to sign up in the next few weeks so that we can close registration and continue to plan with our core group that's going to be there. We do particular planning according to each child that's going to be there, the families that we have. So if you haven't signed up and you're interested in Family Dharma Camp, you can go to the website. Go to Family Program. Under Family Program, it says Family Dharma Camp 2017, and you get all the details there. There's scholarship opportunities. There's it'll give you a detailed runout of how we spend our time at camp, including doing an animal liberation ceremony, which the kids really love to do, and that practices compassion to the least of these, not necessarily roaches and mice, but worms and crickets. So the kids really like to do that. So thank you.
I just thought of something before I say that. Did you need help for the blood drive, too? Because people have been asking me, and I'm not sure. So.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Oh, thank you. In fact, I need help today for the blood drive. So we're going to need help. It starts at 2 o'clock. We need help in the morning to clear out the gampa. And then after 6:30, when it's all done and the Red Cross leaves, we need help to bring all the chairs and cushions back in. So what we can do today, after the teachings are done, I'd like to leave the first row here of chairs, because we have a puja tomorrow night, but all the chairs in the back, if anybody can help, just gather them and we can stack them up outside the nursery, along that, by the door to the exterior, still leaving space for us to get in and out. That'll be a really big help. And then there's a sign-up that I think is listed in the bulletin, I hope, that you can go to online to sign up for other slots. And we need people to help check people in, greet them when they come, and to serve snacks for folks after they've given blood. So thank you.
Good. And I think if you click on the banner on the website, that should take you to the page, and then you can get to the sign-up genius. So some people have been asking me, and I don't know. So good. So I was just thinking about the mantra rock fountain we have in the lobby after the 25th anniversary, and Geshe-la and I were planning on, and it worked really well, on there's three mantras, and you just write a syllable. So sometimes people write other things on it, but it's just to put the syllable of one of the three mantras into the fountain. And as you said, the water is blessed. And so the children can do it, but it's nice if they do it with their parents because they tend to write lots of different things on it, which is cute. But it's out there now, and it's just going to stay there until we don't even know what we're going to do eventually. Maybe build a fountain, not, but it's working and functioning, and we're just going to keep building rocks up. If the basket runs out of rocks, there's three buckets of them under the pergola, which still has the aspiration tree with a basket with ribbons. So Lee Clark, I don't think she's here. She's going to collect those aspirations and place them on the altar for the whole year. So you still have opportunity to have your kids and yourself go out and write your aspiration. And it's not just an aspiration like, I wish for peace. You know, that's great. This is for the center for the next 25 years. Very specific, very heartfelt about what you wish for the center for the next 25 years, because we finished the first 25. We have segments to come. So if you want to do that, you can do that today too before we collect them. You can still keep doing it, but we are going to collect them, so it's a great opportunity. Thank you. Oh. Yeah, the Love Notes Project. We have just sent out 610 literal cards. So 610 love notes have gone out to Meals on Wheels, to individuals, to senior citizens, very lonely, very, we don't know that they're literally lonely, but, you know, they have quiet lives, and just a note from you is so compassionate. And there's hints, ideas, and the whole packet, and people have just loved it because I watch them bring them back. So I can see people really loving this project. So you pick them up on the back wall and you return them on the back wall. Did I cover everything on that? Okay. Anything else?
One last thing on the blood drive, and then we'll let you all go home. I've been the mouthpiece, but the person who's working behind the scenes on this is Joan Lacey. Joan, would you stand up, and we'll all thank her.